I'm going to give you $300 a week. Yes, indeed. $300 a week, $1,200 a month. All right?
Great, I'll take it.
Yes, you will. And I will take $350 for taxes.
Whoa!
Huh? Yeah, now, because, see, the government comes for the regular people first. Now, how much does that leave you with?
$850.
All right. Now, you've got to have an apartment because you are not going to live here.
He's tough.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Todd Zwillick. I'm here with John Hockenberry. A little blast from the past there, a clip from The Cosby Show, as Cliff Huxtable teaches young Theo about the economics of living on his own as an adult, obviously before Malcolm Jamal Warner's voice changed into older Theo, I guess. Well, like we've been talking about all week on the show, it's graduation season, and many young adults will be going out into the real world and trying to get jobs and live on their own fiscally for the first time in their lives.
But in reruns, Theo's still living at home, you know.
That's actually true. I think only the oldest sister gets out.
Right, exactly. Right.
Well, a lot of graduating students, John, they're also moving back in with their parents. And the question for parents right now is, how much financial help do I give to my kids, no matter how old they are? How long do I let them live with me? But how much financial help should I give them before they get back on their feet? Well, here to talk about that is Beth Kobliner. She's a personal finance expert and the author of Get a Life. That's Personal Finance in Your 20s and 30s. It's all about financial literacy for 20-somethings and Gen Xers. Beth, when should and shouldn't a parent help bail out their child, their adult child, from
right.
financial difficulty?
I was just here wondering whether those Brady kids have ever moved out of their house. I don't know if they're
still there.
That's right.
Well, in their plaid shirts. Yeah, sorry.
Exactly. All listening to their parents in that tiny little house, even though the dad was an architect. But anyway, you know, I've been going around the country with Get a Financial Life, talking to dozens of colleges all over, to people in their 20s and early 30s, also talking at companies. And, you know, people at this age are so concerned right now. And you think about it, you know, they're graduating with, on average, $22,000 in student loans, $4,100 in credit card debt, and it's the worst job market in 25 years. So they are completely, you know, their pomp is being tempered by lousy circumstances.
Do we have data that a lot more kids are, in fact, moving back in with their parents? I mean, it
absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I've been watching this statistic for a very long time. Right now, the highest percentage of young people in their 20s and early 30s are moving back home with their parents. This is the highest percentage it's been since 1960. So when I talk at these colleges and I say, well, here's what you have to do. You have to move back home with your parents. They fall off their chairs, you know, after 4 years of college moving back home. And I said, if you feel bad, your parents feel really bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, kids in their 20s after college moving back in with mom and dad for a few months, it wasn't unheard of even when the economy was good. What about people in their 30s?
Yeah,
they've been on the job market for a few years.
You know, it's been a really tough time that when people in their 20s are losing their jobs, moving back home with their parents, some even with their own children moving back home. And it's a tricky balance, too, because their parents aren't having it so easy either. You know, they've seen their home values decline. They've seen their 401s cut in half, 401ks cut in half. So when it comes to who helps who and who's bailing out who, it gets very tricky.
Okay, so what are once the kids move back in, maybe not move back in, even just ask for some money, and not because they're lazy, but because it's the worst economy they've seen.
Right, in generations.
The worst in a generation. How do parents approach? How much money to give for how long? How should they approach
right.
this?
Well, the first thing is, if your grown kids move back home and they're having trouble, say, making a car payment, and they need that car to get to a job, if you can afford it, that's something you definitely want to help them with, something that's a necessity. But we're talking about a kid moving back after college who has, you know, $4,000 in high-rate credit card that he built up for eating pizza, you know, since freshman year. I think it's important not to pay that off, but you might want to help your kids prioritize. If they have student loans and credit cards, talk to them about paying off the high-rate debt more quickly than the lower-rate student loans. Mm. I think helping them get organized and figuring out what they need to do is really a very helpful way to help your kids.
How many motorcycles should a young person in their 20s actually bring home? Actually, that's not my real question. My real question is Beth, you know, on the long historical arc here, extended families were a way that Americans in the 1800s actually shared resources. I mean, it
Absolutely.
Was not unheard of. I mean, maybe we should go back to that.
I think we are seeing that. And I think the attitudes that I'm seeing, you know, I had one kid tell me the other day he had more in common with his grandparents than he does with his parents. He feels like his generation's going to have to scrimp and save. And, you know, they're trying to be more frugal and be more aware of the fact that, you know, maybe they will have to live with their parents for a longer period of time. And I think that helps them sort of keep things in mind. That's why we're seeing volunteerism go up. But I think when it comes to moving back in with your parents, parents also have to realize they have to put on their so-called oxygen mask first, you know, because if they are about to retire or nearing retirement in their 50s or 60s, they want to start saving. They have to continue to save in their 401ks and their IRAs and not sacrifice the money they would have been saving for their own retirement by giving it to their grown kids. But it's tough. You know, parents want to help out their kids, generally speaking. So it's a hard balance to figure out.
Well, Beth, have you noticed any cultural, I want to ask you real quick, any cultural differences? I know that for a lot of Latino Americans, Hispanic Americans, it's actually very common and normal to move back in with your folks or stay living with your folks until you're married. But everybody's right. Facing this economy. Have you noticed any differences there?
I do. You know, it's interesting how when I go to some of the private schools, you know, I've been at Harvard and Georgetown and sort of some of the fancier schools where the kids have a little bit more money, they're more devastated because they say, oh, my gosh, you know, I thought I can just get a loan and get an apartment of my own. Their expectations were much greater. When I've talked at more public colleges or community college, those kids are saying, well, we knew we had to move back anyway, so we're not all that upset about it. But they are upset about the fact that the, you know, unemployment is double the rate it is for the average public for people in their 20s. So they're very nervous about how they can, you know, get ahead. And as the, of course, the American dream is do better than the next generation.
All right.
But I do think there's some commonality there.
All right. This economy is affecting not only everybody's checkbooks, but how people are living, whether they're living together or apart, living with their parents. Beth Kobliner, personal finance expert and author of Get a Life, Personal Finance.
Get a Financial Life.
Get a Financial Life.
Get a Financial Life.